Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for the brothers and sisters holding out your light into this community. Thank you, Father, for your word. Pray, Lord, that as we look into your word now in continuation of our worship of you, that you would work in our hearts to grow closer to you, to strengthen our relationship with you, to shine your light with a greater determination, as bright as it always is. Help us not to falter. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, special prayer request, as Pastor Arthur mentioned, I'm with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and as I was sharing with one of the brothers just before the worship service, one of the main things that the Child Evangelism Fellowship, or CEF, does is we try to start after-school Bible clubs. You call them Good News Clubs in public schools. There's actually a club right here at Coates Elementary, not far from here, from one of our pastors, actually a church planter in our presbytery, Pastor Jager Chinovan. But there's another club or another school that we're trying to get a club going in, and it's actually in Burke. And the school's name is Terra Center. And I was just at that school like 3 or 4 weeks ago and talking to one of the administrative people there. And sounds like it'll be hard to get into. Yeah. They have things set up the way to prevent Good News Clubs from starting there. And one of our churches in our presbytery, Christ Presbyterian Church, they meet in the school there on Sunday. They're meeting there right now. The pastor there says he wants to help out in the club. But the team itself is under, you could say, spiritual attacks, at least from my perspective. Because there's all sorts of things going on within the team itself, too. So you could pray, if you could pray for that team, pray for favor in the school, that would be great. It'd be great to get a club going in that school again. We used to have a club there many years ago. All right. So the new year is coming up in just a few days. And like the title of this message is, in New Year's resolution, a lot of people have resolutions, right? I don't know about you guys. Like last year, one of my resolutions was to lose some weight. Yeah, because my doctor kept saying I was too fat. They could say stuff like that directly, bluntly. So you're too fat. That's okay. And you know, especially with Chinese people, when you hear about, yeah, you want to lose some weight, that's a good goal, right? A good resolution. It's a healthy resolution. It's a worthy goal, right? And you know, what's the criteria of worthy goal? You know, it's healthy and everything. But I want to ask you something too. You and I know that's generally a good thing, a good worthy resolution to have. But about other things, how do you know what is good or bad? How do you know what is good or bad? What's your criteria? You know, this is good or this is bad, right? And of course, you can have all sorts of criteria. And as you may have guessed, in Psalm 1, God provides us with a very good criteria to judge whether something is good or bad. Let me read it right here. This is from the English Standard Version. Psalm 1, this is God's word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The This is God's word, right? God's word. Something to note is in verse 3, where it's talked about the blessed man is like a tree, because when Pastor Arthur was asking me to provide a what could be considered a parallel or related passage, I naturally looked to John 15, which we just read, John 15, verses 1 to 11, which talks about how Jesus is the vine and you are the branches and you're joined to him to produce fruit, right? Well, this tree, you could say, is like related to that passage too, where you want to be joined to that tree, okay? Now, let's turn our focus to the people in verse 1. You got the wicked people. They're described as wicked. You got people described as sinners. You got people described as scoffers or mockers, right? Now, why are they doing those things? Are they doing those things because they know it's bad? Or they think it's bad and that's why they're doing it? Maybe. But I would say that more likely than not, they're doing those things because they think what they're doing is good. Okay, which sounds kind of strange. You know, why would committing a sin be good? Because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we obviously think, yeah, we know sin is bad, right? Sin is bad. Let's get that straight. Sin is bad. But yet we still sin. We still sin. And why do we sin? Why would you and I sin? Because at that moment of weakness, we think it's actually kind of good to do it, right? So these people here, the wicked, the sinner, the scoffers, they've chosen this way because they thought that what they're doing is actually good. But God says something different. He says, no, that's not the way to go. And then you got the other guy, the guy that I would call the blessed man. He's not following this trend that all the other people are doing, right? So you see two paths laid out before you. You got one that the bad people follow, the way that they think is good. And then you got the other path that the blessed man follows, which he thinks is good. And you could tell from the reading of Psalm 1 that God thinks the way of the blessed man, his way is good. God, that's what God says, right? There's two opposite ways to conduct your lives. Two opposite ways. One is the sinful way. One is the blessed way, the good way, the happy way, the joyful way. Now, what are the sinners? Well, what characterizes the way that the sinners, the wicked, and the scoffers, what characterizes their path, the path that they've chosen? What characterizes that? Or was one of the central characteristics of their choice, their way? And I would say, if you look at this passage, just looking at it, what characterizes their way is that it is not the way of the Lord. It's not according to God's law. Whereas opposite to that, the way of the blessed man, what characterizes his choice, his path? The law of God. And he loves the law of God. That's why he's thinking about it all the time. Right? Right? So this psalm, you could say, is a wisdom psalm. It's part of, you could say, the greater wisdom literature, as the theologians would say. And you and I are invited to choose a path, okay? And before you, there's all these different choices you can make. All of them look good. But which one will you choose? Or how do you know which one is good or better, right? How do you do that? And it's not that easy, I would say. In this passage, it seems night and day, black and white, easy. But then, like I said before, the sinful way, the wicked way, looks good. It looks good. It actually makes all these amazing promises, kind of like those ads you see online or on TV, right? When you're watching the Super Bowl, it's like well known for its ads. They got all these interesting ads. And they're all telling you that you need something. They're trying to find some hook in your heart to hang on to pull you in. And it just looks so good, all those things that they're trying to sell you there. So the way of the wicked, the way of the sinners, the seat of scoffers, all look good. I mean, think about it this way. You go to a Virginia beach, right? They got some beaches there. And maybe you see some guy that's really, really built. He's buff, right? He's there just in his swim trunks, just standing around. What do you think is a natural thing for him to do if some beautiful ladies walk by? Some beautiful ladies walk by. What do you think is natural for him to do? And then what's natural for these ladies to do? Because they see this powerful, successful-looking man just standing around all by himself. You know, it's not like it looks like he's available. Right? He's not dating, or there's no ring on his finger. They notice that. What do you think those ladies would do as they walk by? What's natural, right? And I would say there's a fine line between appreciating beauty and lusting. I mean, you could appreciate beauty and not sin, right? And then it's really easy to start lusting, right? And this interaction between that man and those ladies, it could be a very innocent interaction between them. But more likely than not, the interaction would be not so innocent. You know, especially what's going on in their hearts, in their mind, what they're thinking, and their desires. And why is that? Because immorality promises fun. It promises happiness. And it promises freedom if you choose that way. Right? If you choose that way. That's what immorality promises. That's what sin promises. Freedom, fun, happiness. That's what you need. That's what you want. And man, it's so easy to get. It is, right? And all that sounds good. Easy fun, easy happiness, freedom right there. But then God says something different. You could say, man, you know, why is he always messing up the party? No, but he's not messing up the party. Because what he does with his word here is he pulls the curtains apart so you can look at what's actually happened. It's kind of like you watching those movies these days, all that CGI effects. You think about, oh yeah, wow, it looks good. How they make that movie magic, right? But then you watch the behind the scenes and you see, oh wow, it's not that attractive. Right? It's not that attractive. You see all the cables, you know, that they have to digitally erase and stuff. And they're doing it all like slowly, but then they speed it up on film. God's word removes all the facade, allow you to see behind the scenes. This is what the way of the sinner, the way of the wicked, the way of the mocker or the scoffer actually looks like. It promises these things, but it's not that. And what's the way to go? The part that doesn't look that attractive firsthand, I would say, to a lot of people. The way of the Lord. His word. as it says, you know, the way of the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And the law of the Lord, or you could say God's law, reflects God's character. Because God says, this is who I am, and this is how I do things. And you, as my image bearer, because I made you in my image, should follow my ways, God's ways. God's law reflects God's character. So according to what we read here in Psalm 1, the person who is truly happy is the one who follows God and his ways. He meditates on who God is, thinking about how to do things that please him, and finds joy in following God. That's the real way to truly enjoy life. And that's easy for me to say, because even as I prepare this message, as I was telling Pastor Arthur, I have a lot of family over. You know, it's the holiday season. But then I would sneak away to say, I need to prepare for, like, right now. And even as I'm trying to sit down at my little table to prepare, it's all these distractions. You would think that as I prepare for this message, I should be meditating on God's word, God's law. But there's all these things just kind of like, Ray, check this out. Check that out. My phone starts beeping at me. I'm like looking at my phone like, oh, what's going on there? A lot of these distractions. It's not easy. It doesn't seem fun. And if you look at the secular world, they'll say God's law restricts you. It doesn't provide or promote freedom or happiness. It's a killjoy. It's binding you together so you can't move as freely as you would like to move, right? But that's not the case. That's the lie from the other way, not God's way. Okay? Now, something I want to put forth here, and I kind of alluded to it in the beginning, is that this blessed man isn't just anyone. He's a special person. The way I look at it, I'm persuaded that this blessed man in verse 1, he represents all the people who are blessed. Right? All the people are blessed. He represents all the happy people, all the joyful people. Now, some people, when they read this psalm, they automatically think that this favor that has shown this blessed man comes about because he's following God, right? It's kind of like some kind of reward. I follow God's law, and then God rewards me for following his word, right? His law. But I would disagree with that, because God doesn't owe anyone anything. Another way to say it, that God is no one's debtor. If you look in Job 41, verse 11, God himself says to Job, "Who has first given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine." God says, everything belongs to me. I don't owe anyone anything. And if you follow his law, his ways, it's not like he owes you any blessing. So this favor that is shown the blessed man, who is representative of all the righteous people, is a result of God's grace. And if you heard this before, none of us starts off righteous people. We don't start off life that way. Right? After the first man, Adam, sinned, everyone, you, me, we're all born in the way of the sinners. We're born in the way of the sinners. We're born sitting in the seat of scoffers. And then as we live our lives, we listen to the counsel of the wicked, and then we add to our growing list of sins ourselves, right? And the Apostle John would say in one of his letters, like 1 John, that if we say we have no sin, then we're lying. We're lying. We all have sin. There's not a righteous man on earth who does good always and never sins. And yet we have this man right here in verse 1, the blessed man, who represents all the righteous, right? Think about this way also. Has anyone ever had to teach you how to sin? Nah, no one has to teach you how to sin. It just comes. It's natural. It's one of those natural things that you could say is really bad for you. Natural to sin. When we hear natural, we think, good, yeah, we want natural food, organic, yada, yada, yada. But natural sin? No, that's bad. That's bad. And to do something that's good, most of the time you have to be taught that. I look at my kids, I have to teach them how to do things that are good. I don't have to teach them how to do things that are bad. I don't have to. It just happens. And then I'll have to teach them to do what's right. Right? And then even when I'm teaching them how to do right, or even when someone's teaching you how to do something that's right, think about yourself. Do sometimes inwardly you kind of chafe at it? Like, no, Ray, you should be doing it this way. My first response is, no, no, no. And then I think about it, oh yeah, the guy's right. The guy's right. But my first instinct, my natural instinct, is to go against what is good. Yeah. Yeah, we inwardly rebel at what's good. It's hard to forgive someone when they've just made a fool out of you in front of everyone. But then God calls you to forgive. That's part of his way. He's a forgiving God, right? It doesn't seem natural to love people who don't deserve to be loved, right? All of us eventually meet someone that we would say, oh yeah, this person really doesn't deserve to be loved. They're just so bad. Why do I need to love this person? But then God calls you and I to love these people too, because God loves you, right? We automatically sin like breathing. So right off the bat, when you're born, this blessed man in verse 1, he does not represent you, right? And for the blessed man to represent you and me, it requires God's grace too. God's grace. God's grace. And even the love of God's law, like it says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That love for God's law, that's also a grace of God. That's also a grace of God. Particularly the young people here, who still live with their moms and dads, right? Do your parents always have to remind you, or they always check in on you, did you read your Bible today? Right? It doesn't always come natural to just that when you wake up in the morning to pull out God's word, whether it be a physical one or on your phone, right? Or a tablet. It doesn't come naturally. But the delight in God's word is also a grace of God that God gives you. And then a lot of times we think of the law of God, we think of legalism, right? Law, legal, those words go together, rules, right? But consider this, the law of the Lord is given to his people within the context of love. Love. When God gave his law to his people after the Exodus from Egypt, God reminded them. He says, I am the one that saved you from slavery. I did all these things for you. I broke you out of prison, the Egyptian prison. It's God's grace. And now because I've broken you out of prison, here are my ways so you would know how to follow me. Right? Just think about following God. Right? He freed you from sin, or he freed the Israelites from slavery from Egypt. And says, now I want you to follow me. This is how you're going to follow me. These are my ways. These are my laws. This is how you're going to follow me every day. Right? I like that word follow. Because God's leading, and if I'm following him, he shows me where to go and what to do. That's his law right there. And you think about it this way too, to follow someone. If you ever like lost in the forest or I'm sure your parking lot here is pretty bright at night, but I got to tell the deacons this at CCCVA, my church, the parking lot's very dark. You know, they got to talk to whoever the electric company is there in Fairfax to fix that light. It's very dark. And a good thing we have these little flashlights on our phones, right? So I had to pull out my phone just so I don't step on something. Well, that's what God's law is like. It's dark all around. What, you're going to figure your way out by yourself in the dark? No, that's why like in Psalm 119 it says, God's word is like a lamp to my feet. It shows you the right way to go. And isn't that a good thing? That's a good thing. I've been to camps before. I do a lot of camps every year. And we've been at night at those camps. It gets really dark. And there's times where the men's room is somewhere out, like an outhouse in the forest somewhere. And you need a light, especially if you, like me, sometimes I have to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, right? You're walking out there to go to the outhouse in the dark forest, you need a light, right? Now, there's times I had to do it without a light, and man, those were rough nights. Rough nights. Yeah, you fall down, it's raining too, you get all wet, and then you got to crawl back in your sleeping bag all wet. Not a good thing. So if you look at it that way, God's law is a good thing. It is his grace to give you his way, to show you this is how you're supposed to live. He made all of you. He knows what you're good at. He knows what your purpose is. In fact, he's given you your purpose. It comes from God himself. And he says, if you want to find fulfillment for what he created you to do and to live, you follow him. You follow him. That's why his law is a grace, a mercy, and a good thing. And it frees you to be who you were meant to be. It frees you. Instead of binding you and restricting you, it actually keeps you on the right path to do what is right. So you're not distracted by these things, like the different Super Bowl ads and whatever, saying, oh yeah, you need to do this, right? Well, for you guys, you won't be distracted by the ladies on the beach because you know what God wants you to do, right? In fact, there should be only one person, right, for you guys. One person. And for the ladies, one person, right? A man and a woman in marriage together. That's how it's supposed to be, not just floating all around. So I want you to consider how this man in Psalm 1 is blessed by God, right? He's given this desire, this love for for God's law, which shows him, don't go this other way, even though this other way promises all these beautiful things. Go this way, God's way instead. And that's what he goes. And then as he goes that way, God continues to bless him, because in verse 3 says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. That's what this blessed man is. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, and he's yielding fruit. He's not wasting his time on distractions. He's not wasting his time or being distracted by sin. In all that he does, he prospers. But then it contrasts it with the bad people, the wicked. Says they're not like that. What is their fruit like? It's like that stuff that the wind just blows away. Kind of like the leaves. Autumn leaves being blown away by the wind. That's like the wicked people. Instead, the blessed man, he has fruit that remains. Kind of like this church. The wind blows, but the building doesn't go anywhere, right? Yeah. He loves God. Right? So this man here is the ideal man. And you, as you may already have guessed, of course this guy is Jesus Christ. He's the blessed man. He doesn't walk in the way of the wicked. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And Jesus said, he bears fruit. And if you want to bear fruit, you unite yourself, or you need to be united with him to bear fruit. Right? If you want to prosper, you need to be united with him. And how are you united with him? Through faith. Right? Now, for Jesus, he bears fruit. Even when it looks like he's not bearing fruit, he's bearing fruit. Consider his death on the cross. It looked like they're snuffing his life out. Right? Just like a candle, you snuff it out. His light was extinguished. Right? The Pharisee says, yeah, he's gone. The ironic thing is that when his light was snuffed out, that was his greatest work right there, because he cleansed all the people that would be following him. He purified, even as we're reading before in our liturgy, this worship service, through his death, you and I are cleansed from all of our sins. So in his apparent loss, he did his greatest work. He was like the most fruitful, you could say, when it looked like it was his greatest loss. And here's another thing some of you may or may not know, but in some theologians would say Psalm 2 is actually part of Psalm 1, like back in the day, they're like one psalm together, Psalm 1 and 2. So if you look at it that way, you got the blessed man in verse 1 of Psalm 1. But then you look at the end of verse of Psalm 2, at the very end, it says, blessed are all who take refuge in him. Right? Psalm 2. You got all these wicked, sinful scoffers seeking to bust out of God's bonds, right? It says in verse 3, let us burst their bonds apart, cast away their cords from us. Let's throw away God's law. And what does God do? He installs his king. He puts his king in office. And then he says, blessed are all those who take refuge in him. If you read that in conjunction with Psalm 1, the blessed man, you want to be blessed? You follow Christ. God's king. Right? So for New Year's resolution, will you resolve to choose Christ throughout this year? Choose Jesus, especially when you're tempted to sin. And if you have not chosen Jesus before, will you choose Jesus today? Will you choose Jesus today? Because Jesus who reconciles you to God is Jesus, is through Jesus that you join this blessed man in Psalm 1, enabling you to love the law of the Lord. And is through faith in Jesus that you receive all these blessings from God to be fruitful. Like Jesus was saying in John chapter 15, you want to be blessed, you got to be united to me. Because when you are united to Jesus, the King, the Christ, you're going to be like it says in Psalm 1 verse 3, a tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season, and your leaf does not wither. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which shows us how we are to live. Thank you for your word, which points us to Jesus Christ, who through him are made clean and acceptable before you. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, which works in us faith to know Jesus, so that we can be united to him, joined to him, so that we can abide in Jesus and bear fruit just like him. Father, we pray for this grace and this mercy to be in each one of our hearts here today throughout this coming new year. We pray this in Jesus' name.